be here this morning. Thank God for what our ears have already heard as far as the songs and what our hearts have felt. Thank God for that. I'd rather have him, hadn't you? Amen. If I remember reading right, just the other day I was reading about George Beverly Shea and mentioned him this morning. His mother gave him that poem. It was a poem that she gave to him, and then he put the words to it when NBC came and heard him. Some of the men had heard him sing at a religious crusade, and they offered him a contract. And he said, "I'll go home, pray about it, and give you my answer tomorrow." Came back, and he sung him that song as his answer. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Amen. And so, I'd rather have it as man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. Hallelujah. Amen. And I dare say the majority of them fellows, or maybe all of them that offered him that contract, done dead and gone, maybe in hell, and he at 104 still singing, "I'd rather have Jesus." Amen. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen. Thank God. Amen. He is worth more than all silver and gold. Amen. Thank God. Mark chapter 3 this morning, the book of Mark chapter 3. While you're turning, I appreciate the invitation, brother, to be able to be here in these days. I appreciate the opportunity. The Lord blessing us with the help and strength and travel, mercy, and grace. And I thank Brother Bird and his people for their labor here in the camp meeting. And, of course, you can see by the school this morning, their labor there. And his church, his people, and I appreciate their sacrifice and their labor. And it's a blessing to us. It's a help to us. And we thank you for it. And appreciate your kindness. And, of course, everything that's done to put on the meeting. What a blessing. And we're grateful for it. And we thank you for your sacrifice to make it easy on us and to help us. It's a blessing to us. And so we thank you. And we appreciate it so much. And a blessing to come in and fellowship and hear the men of God preach and worship. And that's a great privilege, and I thank God for it and count it an honor and privilege to stand in this place and to be with these dear men of God that have been around this week and all these saints of God. What an honor and a privilege. See, I don't deserve to be in this crowd this morning. Amen. I don't deserve to even be saved. I don't deserve anything but hell, but thank God for that wonderful mercy and grace of the Lord made it possible. Mark chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible said, "And he entered again into the synagogue. There was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege to pray. What a blessing and privilege, Lord, it's been to be here these days. What a blessing and privilege to be here this morning. And Lord, for your presence that has been here among us. We're sure grateful for it. I thank you, dear Lord, for the Word of God now that you've blessed us to read. And the portion you've directed our heart to. And I pray now you'd help me as I endeavor to preach. I pray for that unction and utterance that every man's got to have in order to proclaim the Word of God. I pray for fresh oil. I pray for a few moments I can lose sight of myself and where I'm at. And that my mind and heart would be immersed in the Word of God. Would you give me clearness of thought and clarity of speech? And Lord, would you empower me, enable me, and permit me to preach and literally preach through the message that you won't proclaim. And may the Word of God go forth in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. May our hearts be prepared to receive what you have for us today. May you convict sinners. May saints be revived. I pray above everything that's done this morning that your name would be glorified. Lord, what you're pleased to do in and through and for us. We'll bow under the head. We'll lift our hands. Oh, Lord, we'll bow our heart to you and say you did every bit of it. Oh, Lord, for what we ask this morning, we ask in that lovely name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing this morning. Well, I'm interested in this miracle that Jesus performs on this man with a withered hand. The Bible tells us in the last verse that we read, verse 5, that the Bible said, and his hand was restored whole as the other. That is what the Lord is in the business of doing, is restoration. He's interested this morning in restoring sinners to sonship. He's interested in restoring saints, my friend, to fellowship. I'm glad that he can and will restore this morning. It was the psalmist David that said, the Lord restoreth my soul. So I'm glad he is interested in restoring us this morning. I'm grateful for that fact this morning. He is interested in restoring sinners to a right relationship with him. And he's interested in restoring saints to where they can serve him this morning. I want us to look at this, if you will, this morning for just a moment, at this miracle and how this restoration took place, or how the Lord restored this man. First of all, I want us to notice when he restored him. When he restored him. The Bible said that this miracle took place on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day. Now, the Lord is not confined to any particular day. And he could not just perform miracles on the Sabbath day. But he had some contention with the Pharisees and the scribes about the Sabbath day. As a matter of fact, the last, my friend, chapter closes out with that maybe the Sabbath before, the contention between the Pharisees and the Lord about his disciples going through the cornfield on the Sabbath and picking corn and eating that corn. And the Pharisees said they had sinned. They had broken the Sabbath. But the Lord reminded them, my friend, that a man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. And that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen? And of course, in the other, my friend, Gospels, in Luke and then in Matthew, my friend, he explains to them how, my friend, that the Lord is more interested and delighteth in mercy more than sacrifice. And he talked to them about how that the priest, even on the Sabbath day, profane the temple when they offer the two sacrifices that they offer on the Sabbath day. But the Lord was more interested in the restoring this man, my friend, than they were. For they were interested in the Sabbath, but they were not interested in his soul. They were interested in resting, as the Sabbath said, but not restoration. They were interested in the law, as far as they said, but they were not interested in this man's life. But the Lord Jesus, by example, proves to them that he was the Lord of the Sabbath when he healed this man on the Sabbath day. And he also proved, my friend, that he should show mercy on the Sabbath. Amen. When he restored this man. Amen. And so this took place on the Sabbath day. Where did it take place? It took place in the synagogue. Amen. The Lord performed this miracle in the synagogue. The word synagogue simply means a gathering or an assembly. The Jews, my friend, in their history, think the synagogue may have started in the Babylonian captivity. When the Israelites were taken to Babylon, and when they were in exile, they longed for the temple. They longed to hear those scriptures read. And so they asked a scribe, while they were in Babylon, how to begin to read to them the scriptures. And they think that might be where the synagogues began. We do know that they flourished, my friend, or became numerous during the 400 years of silence. My friend,
And we know that in order to have a synagogue, there had to be at least 10 male Jews to form a synagogue. And so by the time Jesus came for his earthly ministry, there were synagogues all across the little cities and villages and towns of Israel, as well as wherever the Jews had been dispersed. And it was in that synagogue that the Lord Jesus performed this miracle. Amen. Oh, hear me. Again, he's not confined to the synagogue, but he did perform that miracle in the synagogue. As a matter of fact, you'd think where the law and the prophets were read every Sabbath would have been a perfect place for him to do his work. For they should have been expecting him. They should have been anxious for him to get there, my friend, and welcome him. But Jesus said, I search the scriptures in them. You think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But oh, my friend, when he came to the synagogue, he did not find it a welcome place, and he could not perform many miracles there. Had to go outside the synagogue and somewhere else, because verse 5 said that they had a hard heart. They had unbelief. And so, isn't it sad today that in the church house, or where the church meets, ought to be the place where the Lord should perform the majority of His miracles. But most places, He's not welcome. There is hardness of heart. And he cannot do what he wants to do. Have I failed? And we're missing out on many miracles because of unbelief and hardness of heart in the synagogue or in the church. Amen. And so, where God did he perform this miracle? He performed it in the synagogue. Who did he perform this miracle on? The Bible said it was upon a man with a withered hand. Amen. A man with a withered hand. The word withered means to make dry. It means literally to dry up, waste away or pine away. It means to have shrunk. Or it has the idea of being scorched or scorching. The natural juices have been cut off from the member. And so here's a man with a hand. The Bible said he has a withered hand. Oh, it's pining away. It's shrunk. My friend, Luke 6 and 6 tells us it's his right hand. Amen. And speaking of his right hand, of a man, that speaks of his strength, that speaks of his favor, that speaks of his ability. Amen. And can I say in that respect, that is a type of every sinner. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. We're born with a withered hand. That is, we have no favor with God. My friend, we have no spiritual strength. We have no ability to take hold of God or lay hold of God. My friend, because of our sinful condition of man, God's hand is spiritually withered this morning. Oh, God, help us. And he cannot reach up and take a hold of God and fellowship with him and have a relationship. He can't stretch forth that hand. He doesn't have the ability, my friend, in himself to do what's right. The Bible said there's none that doeth good, and no, not one. He cannot perform the righteousness that's required by God's holy law because his hand is withered. Amen. And so the sinner has to have just help. He's got to have somebody to restore him to that place of relationship and fellowship. A sinner, if you're in our congregation this morning, only Christ can restore you to that relationship and fellowship with God. It'll not be by the works of your hands. Your hand is withered this morning, and you were born that way. It'll take a miracle of God and of grace that ever touch you and change your life this morning. Amen. Oh, God, help us this morning. But I want to say something else about this man on whom the miracle was performed. The Bible said he had a withered hand. To me, that speaks of birth. To me, that speaks of, hey, God, he came here with that, the way of a withered hand. But in Matthew chapter 12, amen, the Bible tells us in verse 10, the Bible said there was a man which had his hand withered. So he didn't, this man just wasn't a man with a withered hand. Matthew said he had a hand that was withered. A withered hand can be a birth, amen, a deformity. But a hand that has withered, thank God, means that one time it was okay, thank God, but somehow it shrunk. I'm wondering, is there anybody here this morning whose spiritual hand has withered? There are sure a lot of things in life, sure a lot of things along this journey of life that have caused an individual's hand to become withered. Amen. Can I say, when a Christian's hand becomes withered, my friend, they can't work for God. They can't lay hold of the plow. They can't take hold of the trial. When a Christian's hand becomes withered, they can't war. They can't hold the sword. When a Christian's hand becomes withered, they can't worship. They can't stretch it forth. They can't reach it up. And sometimes in life, we experience things that have struck our hand. At one time, we may have walked in fellowship with God. We may have held the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. But something happened to cause our hand to become withered this morning. Amen. God, help us this morning. And now we're in the synagogue, and we're there with a withered hand, and cannot stretch it forth this morning. Cannot raise it to worship, or to war, or to work this morning. Amen. I don't know what may have caused your hand to wither this morning. Amen. Just as the sinner is withered because of his inherent sin and his Adamic nature, I want to say to you, the Christian campaign can become withered because of sin that he touches. Samson had a strong hand. Thank God when he slew a lion. Samson had a strong hand when he took the jawbone of an ass and began to defeat, thank God, my friend, and to kill the Philistines. But Samson got a hand that was withered when he reached out and touched sin, hey, and laid hold of my friend, old Delilah, and he lost his strength, and it shrunk. And when he awoke, had to break the ties that the Philistines had put on him, he found out his hand was withered. Sin will cause your hand to wither. Sin caused the hand of King David to wither. Here's the king that took the sling. Thank God, it brought Goliath down. And then took his sword and cut his head off. Here's the man, my friend, that held the scepter of the king of Israel. But when he put his hand on Uriah's wife, it caused his head to wither, and your hand to wither when you put it forth to sin tonight. Amen. It might be suffering. It might be sorrow. It might be sickness that has caused your hand to wither. Amen. It might be silence, the silence of God, as you've been waiting for Him to answer some prayer you've been praying. And in His silence, hey God, you've grown weary, and it's caused your hand to wither. It may be a spouse that's been unfaithful. It may be a sibling or a child that has wandered away. Hey God, in His wayward this morning, that's caused your hand to wither. Maybe things didn't turn out like you thought they would, and like you planned them. Are you hearing me? Oh, and it caused your hand to wither. You lost your confidence and your trust in the Lord this morning. Amen. It's Martha and Mary that sent for Jesus, and He doesn't show up till after Lazarus is dead. And when He does show up 4 days later, amen, Martha goes to meet Him, but Mary's hand has withered, and she will not even go out to meet Him. She sits still in the house. Hey, hear me, friend. And sometimes, hey God, when God delays His visitation, His presence, His answer to our prayer, we get weary, and it causes our hand to wither. It causes us to shrink, and we lose confidence and trust in the Lord and in His ability, and we can't hold the shield of faith, and the fiery darts of the wicked consume our mind. Hey, and leave us, my friend, defeated in the battle of life, discouraged, despondent, and wondering what's the use, because our hand has withered. Is anybody here this morning with a withered hand? Is there anybody here this morning that your hand has withered? Amen. Oh, but the Lord came by the synagogue. Amen. Three things and I'll be through this morning. Notice how He performed this miracle. Amen. Bless His name. First of all, thank God, verse number 1 of Mark chapter 3, the Bible says He entered again into the synagogue. He came to the synagogue again. I don't know which particular synagogue this is. Amen. But here in Mark's gospel, the only other record we have of Him entering the synagogue is in chapter 1. And the Bible said He entered into the synagogue at Capernaum. Amen. And so I'm supposing, thank God, since Mark introduced Him coming to the synagogue at Capernaum, that in chapter 3, it's again to Capernaum that He comes. Amen. I sure am glad He's a God of again. I sure am glad He come by the synagogue again. Amen. Bless His name. Thank the Lord. Amen. He came by, and it's amazing that He'd even go again to the synagogue. You see, the reason why is because it wasn't His synagogue, it was theirs. Matthew chapter 12, verse 9 said, "And when He departed thence, He went into their synagogue." The Pharisees run it. The Pharisees controlled it. Amen. The Pharisees operated it like they wanted to. My friend, but the Lord came by. Thank God. Oh, He came by. Even though in chapter 1, when He showed up the first time, there was an unclean spirit that kept crying out. Amen. Listen to me. It's not ever holler. Thank God, it's not ever shout. It's not ever running down the aisle and hanging from the chandelier. It's of God. Amen. Sometimes it's an unclean spirit. Anybody listen to me? Thank God, that unclean spirit cried out. But oh, he probably shouldn't have went back. Since there was an unclean spirit. But he went back again because a man needed restoration. Amen. Thank God. Can I say this? He went though there was unsound doctrine being taught. The Pharisees were teaching, my friend, the traditions of men as the commandments of God. And oh, it was going on at the synagogue. And yet He came by. And He came by again. Hallelujah. Some of you came out of churches that everything wasn't exactly right. They didn't cross every T and dot every I. They had some things wrong. But aren't you glad he come by? I thought, oh, there was unsound doctrine. Because he saw the need of restoring somebody with a withered hand or a hand that was withered. Amen. And he came, though there was unsoftened hearts, though there was hardness of heart, he came in and he was grieved with that crowd. He was angry with that crowd. But though he was grieved with one crowd and angry with them, he looked on this man with compassion. And in spite of that hardness of heart, and in spite of that unsoftened heart, he restored this man. Amen. Oh, I'm glad he does things sometimes in spite of others. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name this morning. First of all, I want to say to you how he healed this man, restored this man. First of all, he spoke out. The Bible said in verse number 3, and he saith unto the man which had the withered hand. Hallelujah. He spoke out. Now the Pharisees had been speaking out. The scribes had been speaking out. Amen. All the priests and the elders had been speaking out. Amen. But he spoke out that day. Oh, what a blessing when he speaks out. Amen. When he preaches through the preacher, when he sings through the singers, when he testifies through the testimonies, that is a blessing, isn't it? Amen. And it is a blessing when he speaks out in the synagogue. I'm glad of the night he spoke out to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, being raised in church, I heard a lot of preaching. The home church had service 4 times a week when I was growing up as a boy. And we were there all 4 services. And then every revival service. So we was there every time they had revival. Then we visited a neighboring churches. Thank God my parents did as a boy and took me. And so I don't know how many messages, how many sermons, how many preachers I heard, how much speaking out, what's going on, how many times I heard the saints shout. Thank God and testify. But I'm glad one night he came by the synagogue again and found me with my withered hand. Found me in my condition and spoke out. And for the first time in my life, he spoke out. Thank God. And I could not deny it was him. I'm glad. I didn't just hear the word of God. I heard God in the word. Hallelujah. I saw myself. Hey, as a sinner, he spoke to me. Thank God. I heard a sweet voice so tenderly calling, saying, arise, be saved evermore. I knew it must be the voice of my Savior. I've not heard a voice like it before. Something different. Hey, that night he spoke out. Hallelujah. It rung true in my soul. I could not get away from it. I could not escape from it. I tried to shake it off. I tried to push it away. But it was undeniable. He called me. Hey God. He spoke to me individually and personally. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Bless his name. I was in meeting Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before I came here on Thursday morning, about an hour from the house. And the gentleman that was the song leader, choir director, whatever you want to call him, in our country churches, we all just said song leader. Amen. Didn't know anything about minister of music or choir director, but he's just a song leader. Amen. But he's a deacon in the church. And he's got children and grandchildren in the church now. And in 1978, I was preaching revival there. His daddy was pastoring then to that church, that same church. And he is 21 years old. And one night, the meeting broke out, and he came to the altar along with many others and professed that he got saved by the grace of God. And he testified again the other night, and he said, thank God. And he's told me personally, one-on-one before, he said, preacher, I was 21 years old. And he said, I know most folks won't believe this. Raised in a pastor's home, raised in church. And he said, I don't know how many times I've had the saints come by an invitation and take me by the hand and try to get me to go to the altar. But he said, I never felt the need. I never felt like I was lost. I never felt like I needed to get saved. He said, until that revival and until that night. And he said, that night, hallelujah, he spoke out, hallelujah. And I became guilty. And when I came, thank God, and pleaded guilty, thank God, and said, I'm a sinner, and begged for mercy, he saved me. Anybody hear me tonight? I'm glad of the night he spoke out to me, 13-year-old, in that revival meeting, that he spoke to my heart. Hallelujah. Can I say, secondly, he not only spoke out, he had the man to stand out. He said, stand forth. Thank God, stand out from the crowd. I stand out from them with unsoftened hearts. I stand out from this crowd that I'm grieved and angry with. Stand out because you've got a withered hand. I've told God many times, if this crowd goes to heaven, I won't have any problem. But that night I couldn't hide enough. I tried to get behind that big old boy that I went to school with sitting in front of me. But Preacher Lamar Green, I kept coming across that pulpit with that long fainter. And every time he did, it looked like he was shooting right at me. And I couldn't hide. Thank God I stood out that night. Amen. I felt like everybody knew what was wrong with me. I felt like everybody was looking at me and saying, it's him. It's him. Thank God. And probably nobody knew. But heaven knew. And the Lord knew. And the high sheriff of heaven, the Holy Ghost, thank God, put me under conviction and handcuffed me. I went wild and began to deal with me that night. Amen. Oh, he had him to stand out. And everybody he saves, he has them to stand out. Amen. Come out from the crowd. Come out even from the church crowd. Come out, amen, from the world. Come out from idols. Amen. So they stood out. Then he had him to stretch out. Amen. He spoke out. He stood out. And then he had him to stretch out. Verse 5 said, he said, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out. Amen. Someone said, what's the difference? If this fellow was born from birth like this, or sometime in his life he had something happen, some kind of accident, some kind of tragedy that caused his hand to wither. Thank God, don't you think he tried to stretch it out many times before? What was the difference this day? Was it the Sabbath? Was it the synagogue? No, it is the word of the Lord. It's because Jesus told him to stretch it forth. Amen. What could be any different this day for me, preacher, is if you hear the voice of God and you obey His voice or His word this morning. Amen. It was what Simon Peter said when the Lord said after teaching the disciples, launch out in the deep, let down your nets for a great haul of fishes. Amen. And Peter said, Lord, we've been fishing all night, but we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down our nets. And they enclosed a great number of fishes. The difference is when you, by faith, obey what the word of God says. That causes you to be restored and be able to stretch forth your hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless His name this morning. Thank God. And the Bible says He stretched it forth until, thank God, it was whole as the other. Amen. Oh, you can stretch it forth by faith this morning if God has spoke to you. It was Abraham that stretched forth his hand. Amen. The Bible said he stretched forth his hand to take hold of the knife. Amen. And when he stretched forth that hand, God said, wait just a minute. Hallelujah. And God stretched forth his hand. When you by faith, ain't God respond to what God has told you to do, then God will bring the miracle and the restoration and the healing and the help out of your eyes this morning. Is He saying to you, sinner, stretch forth your hand? Is He saying to you, saint, stretch forth your hand, let it become withered? Don't leave today defeated. Don't leave this camp meeting. Thank God on the dumb hill. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my, he left. The Bible said when he stretched it forth, it became whole as the other. Amen. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, but what do y'all suppose he did once that hand got restored whole as the other? Did he put it in his pocket? Did he hide it here and say, I don't want nobody to see this? Amen. Or did he show everybody in the synagogue? Hallelujah. He probably could have said to the Pharisees, I've been hearing you speak out for all these years, and all you ever did was add grievous burdens to what I was already bearing, and would not with one finger lift. I ain't got those burdens. Hey, I ain't got you lawyers of the law. I ain't got you had the key, but you wouldn't unlock it. You knew of the door, but you just stood in the way and kept me from entering in this morning of the Savior, the Messiah, of the King of Glory, of the Lord Christ spoke out. And when I obey His voice, look at my hand, my withered hand, my hand that had become withered. It's whole. It's restored. Hallelujah. I can have life now. I can be made and told. I don't just exist anymore. I can live. Hallelujah.
Amen. I wonder, is he saying to you this morning with a withered hand? Or I wonder, is he saying to you this morning that has a hand that's withered, stretched forth? Oh, if he is this morning, if you'll obey him, you can leave here restored. May the Lord bless you.